Okay, are you ready to get started? So I just got a message from Tony earlier that he's suffering from fever, so he cannot join today. So I try my best to also give some feedback on the last assignments and walk through the example answers. Unfortunately, I don't have your responses or your assignments, so I can't really go through over those and to different types of solutions for the kind of questions that there were, because they still give quite much of a freedom how you can implement your solution. So, but I'll still give a couple of options, and based on what I've been discussing with you, I also try to reflect on some potentials for how to solve those assignments in this point four or task four. And I also could firstly give some kind of a wrap-up on the course contents and how you can prepare for the exam. I mean, if you have already attended the previous lectures, we have usually tried to say or emphasize what aspects are then required in the exam. And the exam is something that we don't want to make too tedious. I mean, remember from previous lectures that the core focus of this course is in the very basics of XML. So thinking about the XML recommendation, the specification itself, what it gives, what kind of restrictions and a kind of a freedom it gives for any language that is derived out of the XML specification. So the key issues, of course, for you to master in also in the exam is mainly related to the assignments 1, 2, 3. So the basic logical structure of XML documents, understanding the tree structure of XML documents, understanding the well-formedness rules. So if you remember, well-formedness was that every element has a starting, closing tags, they are properly nested. These things, they will get you far. And also the validity aspect. So even though, as we've come to understand throughout the course, that this DTD, document type definition, is only one potential solution for giving the rules and constraints for your languages. And as we've seen, there are more elaborated or more advanced ways through XML schema that hasn't been the core focus of this course. So we won't ask anything too specific about XML schema, but just realizing that there are opportunities as different types of constraints, conditions that you can give to your XML documents by XML schema. This basic understanding is something that you also should carefully think about. And also that they are namespace aware, as DTDs are not. And also, we have been discussing in the previous lectures, you have seen that depending on the context where you deal with XML, for example, on the data interchange between different services, applications, and systems, what Ville was talking about was the service-oriented architectures. And there we see more this XML languages such as SOAP discussed, where the VSDL kind of serves as the schema for the SOAP messages that are flying around between services. So, and in the exam, we won't ask anything specific about SOAP or VSDL. These were just also in this last assignment to kind of open up the possibilities and show what kind of things XML enables. And also what you should think about is that all of those languages that are derived and built on this XML specification, they still follow the same basic principles that the XML specification gives. So being very simple, XML, and remembering that XML itself is not a programming language. Even though in this last assignment we've been discussing about this XSLT, which comes closer to a programming language for XML, but still realizing that this is just one of the languages that are derived out of the XML to solve a very particular kind of a challenge, usually coming from like real life problems. I mean, that you have identified some sort of a problem that, okay, we have like a multifold of XML documents in our database. How can we somehow give and transform these documents to different types of formats, and also to play around and not necessarily always just like edit that original XML document, but to allow these transformations and transform our document to something else, either giving it an external presentation, putting it in the browser, but also turning it to other XML documents and so on. And also this XSLT, these issues, we won't ask anything specific in the exam about it. But just think about like from this angle, that what kind of issues or examples that you've heard in this course, what type of things like XML actually gives freedom and opportunities to do. And like we might also have this time something like a question where you need to kind of apply your thinking, apply your knowledge on XML. So just think about some kind of a problem case, and then you have to come up with some kind of a solution, or think about what kind of things XML enables. This is something that we've usually put there, because it kind of gives pretty good, like even though it wouldn't be more than one page of elaboration, but it very soon gives also us the understanding whether you have grasped like what the kind of basics of XML are, and what are kind of the extensions and things that what can be leveraged in different types of organizational and specific like business settings. But yeah, those are the kind of things that we will most likely ask about. But some of these topics, such as natural and formal languages, the differentiation between these, it's sense-making to read about these. And the previous course, not course book, but these PDFs made by Iris Halminen, they are still very relevant when it comes to those type of information. So you might want to read some things about those. Also, we have, like in one lecture, we discussed about this physical structure of XML documents, which kind of where we discussed these entities that, again, are different than elements. Remember always this, entities, elements, they are different things. These entities are something that you can then use in your DTDs to declare them, to mark down like bigger punches of text that you might enable you to write your DTD in an easier manner, or just some things that you can reference from your XML documents. But regarding this physical structure, most likely this basic information around those, what the entities are, what they enable, that's more or less enough. And same goes to namespaces. We won't ask anything too specific about like how you can declare namespaces, how can you use them, what about the inheritance between different like XML structures. This is not part of this course. It was just mainly to give you the information that XML namespaces are kind of additional specification that are applied more or less in most of XML languages, just to avoid these name collisions. And yeah, I think those are the main things that you could think about, like keep in your mind when you enter the exam. And I think the exam was already in 2 weeks or so, or was it actually even sooner? I think in 2 weeks. Yeah, in a bit less than 2 weeks, so you still have some time to prepare. But is there any questions at this point regarding the exam, or we might then just go to the assignments of this week. But if there's something in specific about the exam, no. Let's go to the assignments. So yeah, I got some of you came later. Tony is now, he's suffering from fever, so I'll try to go through the examples. I got, Tony luckily had prepared one example response for the question, so I'll walk you through it, and I also try to remember what kind of feedback or concerns some of you had, and try to reflect that when we go through those. But maybe first of all, how many of you found the assignment 4 as hard? Yeah. Was it something that you did? Everyone got these assignments done, or is somebody maybe who didn't? Maybe you can raise your hand. Okay, very good. But anyways, I know that these are rather hard because especially they require so many different types of knowledge. It's not just about XML, but now we're coming closer to XSLT. Bringing it to CSS, to style sheets, and to HTML knowledge. So these are things that you might have grasped from your previous work in doing some websites or just on your free time. But the learning process is also a bit more tedious because there are so many things you need to now understand and make sense of. But I hope you managed to do some Googling around and finding the way to kind of solve those tasks, because that's what it's all about, especially in those extra assignments, that there's something a bit more to think about. And what I will now show you might be very different on how you actually yourself accomplish this. But let's first go to the assignment, the mandatory assignment. And there's too many browser windows open. I think I had it in the here. So there was from the second week, there was the XML document, and I'm sure you're very aware of what this task assignment was. But more or less, what is in there is just centered information on the web browser and some things retrieved from the XML document. And you might be well aware of also of the XML document because you have done it. So let's just go to the according XSL file. So, okay, this is only one kind of a solution, so some of your solutions might have been slightly different because you necessarily don't have to do these loops in your XSL file. You also could have just manually retrieve those the information about the departments, but this is one solution. So that first of all, I hope you can see this all right, is that we had again the XSL operation to start with the root node of the document. We start our HTML file to give it an external presentation and wrap it inside the body element. And what has been done here is to give it the first order title, H1, and we wrap it the inside then the information that goes there. And what has been done here is that we center the document, so we center the information already at this point. And these were some of the comments that you had, that everything was just based on the left-hand side. But with this HTML commands, you can easily just position the information where you want. And this center is just one solution that was used for this purpose. And what has been done then is to extract the value, the name of the CEO, and we used for this one of the most prominent, the value of element with the select attribute. So you might remember this, and I'm sure you have played around with this quite a lot. The second thing which was a bit of a tricky is then what also some of you asked is how to extract information from the attribute value. So from the attributes, you have a slightly different syntax that you use the at symbol. And I guess I mislead some of you because I was saying that the World Wide Web Schools has an example for this, but it actually didn't. I hope you... Did you try to find it from there? Oh yeah, so you put the information in an element, or yeah, yeah. Because I also tried to find it afterwards from the World Wide Web schools because I was sure I found it there. But actually, what I then did, I just Googled. I just put this part of the text and I just put an attribute, and actually the first hit in Google gave more or less the response for this. But I'm happy you find a way to a solution for this. But of course, it's not very. Think about it in like the examples that Joni had in his previous lectures from the library system. That some people have been preparing a schema and the according element and attribute names, and always adding when you have like descendants of an element, always having the like the child element name having also the parent name within it. So the element names get very, very long. So that these are just things that you should avoid. And similar, if you have information in attribute value, of course, making it the element just to retrieve wouldn't be a best case maybe in a work life. But that's at least one solution that luckily you got it to work through that. But the differentiation here was just to use this symbol, and then it extracts the value from the attribute. Okay, what Tony has been done here is that he then puts the second order header, and he also again introduces another like center element that just puts all the information in this HTML document to the center of the screen. And then he selects the company name, which is an attribute value, and again, just navigating down the structure. I mean, this is, I guess all of you understood this, how in XSLT and with this XPath commands, you navigate down the element structure. So company, personal, person, name. So you start company, then you go to the child, personal, person, then you go to name, and then you start extracting. So I guess this was clear, at least during the time when you were solving this, or got these things solved. And then in this second order, we just select the company name, and again, it's from the attribute, so we use the same structure. Then, I'm not sure if all of you did this, but in the assignment, you might remember that this information, this logistics, maintenance, security, these were capitalized. So what has been done here is to transform all of this text to uppercase. This is done by a CSS. Just this is, again, if you would have liked to Google for it, it's just CSS. Uppercase, and it kind of gives some information how to transform the letters to uppercase. I'm not sure if all of you did this, but this is the at least one way of doing it, so that you have the font element and you just give it an attribute style and then it's incorporated there and it transforms the letters. And again, you wouldn't have necessarily had to use a loop here to go through the departments. But this is actually what has been done here. And how Tony has been doing this is maybe a bit more complicated version, because as you see here in the loop, he's also going as far as going to the attribute itself. And what the implication is that when you, after that, want to sort those department names alphabetically, if you would navigate as far as to the attribute, and I would then replace here this dot is a XPath command that just points to the current node where we have navigated to. So it stays there in the attribute name, and it just sorts based on that when we introduce this XPath command point. But if we would have had it like this, that we replace, that we want to select or sort based on the name and put it like this, this actually doesn't work because we have navigated already that thus far. So this wouldn't work. And if we would want to have it in this form, that select attribute name, this simple solution here would be just that we would delete this part here. And then also for the selecting the value, we would just do the same. So we don't put the dot because it's not navigated to the XPath hasn't gone to the attribute. It stays within the element there. So we need to put this, define this here. And again, it works. So it might have been that you have done it either way. I'm not sure. Did anyone use this example that Tony had, having it in this form with dots and... I guess not. But just keep it in mind. That's one way of doing it. So I'll just put it back to how it was. So like that. And after that, you close the loop. This was one of the ways for solving this mandatory task. But again, here's a different version if you didn't want to use a loop. But again, this loop of course is much better, because if we just think about it, that if there are tons of departments in this same document, if we manually have to extract the information, it's really not sustainable, because if the order of those would change at some point, if we would update the XML document, wrong information would be retrieved to our HTML file, because as you can see here, is that we have a list created. I'll actually show this on browser. So sorry, bit hard with I forgot my mouse. It's my office. Boom, 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 boom. So yeah, just as an example, there's this list version given beneath. And as you can see, it's not now turned to uppercase. It's just with lowercase, because it's not introduced here anymore. But how this would have been done is that, again, we center, we give... this is, again, HTML, just an element to make a bulleted list, a UL element, and the bullets, it's similar to, like, think about it similar to the... table that you kind of have a... Here we say that we have a bullet list, and then the list elements we always wrap inside this LI elements. But as you can see here, is that this is one way of doing it, is that when we extract the value, we put the order of the... If we want them alphabetically, we put that we want to retrieve department one name. First department, then third and second, to give them, put them in the alphabetic order. Did anyone do it like this? I guess, and I'm happy that you didn't. So this is maybe not the best one, because again, if there are changes in the document, then the order changes. Then it's really not feasible, because this is done manually. And when you're doing a loop, you can just say it once, and it's always alphabetic. Did some of you have drastically differing solutions? I mean, Tony will still give feedback to your messages, and especially concerns if you had some, but just out of curiosity, did anyone have much differing solution? Okay, that was the first one. How many of you did the extra assignment? Okay, quite many. And I assume it was much harder, or at least personally, I think it was at least with the solution how I came up with it, I made it at least much much more complicated. But let's see how that is done. And just to refresh your memory, the second one, if you didn't do it, we had a table like this. And what made it a bit harder is also that we have person elements in different parts of the XML structure. So if we do loops or anything we extract, it's much harder because they aren't on the same level. It's harder for us then to navigate and find the elements. And also there were some, when you have navigated to some parts of the document and when you then start navigating back, there's also some issues around that. But of course it might be that you find some ways around it, not making it as complicated. But let's see. Okay, the XSL file is here. Again, the same. We start with the template. We match. We point it to the root, to the entire document. We wrap it inside the HTML and body elements. We create a table first of all for all personnel. And as you saw there, we had a all personnel header. Then we have the table created. It's given a border, value 1, so that it actually has borders, this table. Then we have the first row introduced with the TR element, and we give it a background color. Again, this is basic CSS, so you can find those color codes from your editors and graphical editors, and also Googling if you want to. Then we give the columns the titles. And as you saw there, we actually then have the color expanding throughout the row if we do it like this. And then we close that first row. And then what happens is we start looping through the person elements, and regardless how far they are in the structure. So the problem here was that, as you can see, that when we start navigating company, personal, the CEO is already the third element from in its structure, and then under the that we still have name, department, and for him working, like his personnel, we have to go a couple of element structures down to get then to the service managers and other personnel. And how this was done here in the XSL document is this kind of a navigation. We find the descendants how, no matter how far they are in the structure. And actually, it's not as more complicated. We start navigating from the company to personnel, and then you give this two slashes and person. So this means that it goes as far as needed in the document. If the first person is immediately company personal person, okay, it retrieves that information, but then it also goes as way back as needed, as long as needed to find all the person elements there. And is this the way you found the solution, or did you do something different? Is this similar? Maybe you can nod or. Not similar. Okay, then you find a different solution. That's fine as well. But maybe later on we can then ask, was your solution more simple than this? Okay, but now what we have done is that we have created a loop and we find the person elements. And this now again goes as far down as needed in the tree structure. And then we want to sort the table by clearance level first. So the clearance level was this ABC, like what kind of rights they have in their organization, maybe how far they can go through different doors and so on. So we want to firstly sort by this, but in addition to that, we want to sort by the name so that we want the clearance level C and A and B also to be in alphabet. Well, actually, in this example, it is not. I think it's only. Let's see if it actually was in the task assignment. Haha, I think it wasn't actually in the task assignment, so this is something extra. So as you can see, that the it's first of all alphabetically based on the clearance level, but then also on the name of the person. And that was done in this manner. So you first just like sort by clearance. Clearance was an attribute. We have already, again, we are navigating to the person elements, and we don't have to always specify this how to get to that person element again, because we already have done that through our loop. And we want to sort based on the attribute clearance that they have, and after that, based on the name, so that the clearance level is, the persons under that will be also sorted. And then we start our first column, where we extract the person's name. And again, we have navigated there. We don't have to do that again. Then what has been done here is to check if a person has a title attribute value. This is also a bit more elaborated version of how to do that. I'm not sure if you did it like this. What has been done here is using XSL choose element. And as you can see, it's not required, but it's one way of doing it. Within this choose element, we do a kind of a, this conditional thing. So we have an element XSL when, attribute test, the title. So if we have the title attribute, we extract that value. But if there is not, we change that with the information employee. Did any of you do it in this way? Was your version or your way harder? Maybe you can raise your hand if your version of was harder. No? Okay. That's good. If you found an easy way of doing this without this kind of a conditional issues, that's excellent. But again, I don't have your example answers, so you might have to just reflect on yourself how it was. And of course, later on, you will get if there were problems, you get the feedback on that. So, okay, that was how it was done. So that if there's an attribute value, we show it. And this is what has been done. So we have here that not all the titles are there given, so it's changed by value employee. Then, in the next one, we extract the clearance level. And again, this clearance level was also how it was sorted, but it's an attribute value, so it was done like that. And then the department name, this is again, now we go the other way around. First of all, we navigate to, no matter how far down we have to navigate to the person elements, now we start going back to the ancestors. This is one way in XPath how you can do that. You have this ancestor, and then this double point twice, and then you go to the element department, no matter how far up it is in the structure. Because now we have navigated as far down to the person, but no matter how far up we have to go back, we find the element department and the attribute name. Again, well, did anyone do similar? No? Very good. And then we closed the loop. And that was it. That was one solution for this. But there are also a couple of other... Tony has received a few comments, and there are a couple of other examples how to sort, how to do some conditional thing, how to also like do some counting. So I'll firstly show. So underneath, there's this total number of company personnel is 12. If we want to present this kind of information in our HTML file, we can do it in this manner. So, okay, first of all, we created just a paragraph and where we wrap up the information. We just put the text inside. And this was actually what I discussed with some of you. So remembering that this is an HTML document, no matter what you write, like behind and like under whatsoever these XSLT commands, they will be visualized in the in your document. So this was hopefully these people that I discussed with also figured this one out to the best outcome. So we just put here text, total number of company personnel, and then we extract the from the value, but we do some counting. So as you can see, this might be familiar for you if you're an Excel user or maybe from some programming languages, but what we just do here is just we do a count operation, and between these brackets we again navigate as far down as we have to in the element structure to the person. And then we want to count the how many persons there are in that company. And as you remember, the CIO was actually higher up in the structure. So if we would just count the employees, we would have to make it more complicated if we don't use this descendant kind of a operation here. But again, this just counts how many there are in total and gives the figure here. 12. And then a slightly differing example, again, not part of the exam, but just out of curiosity and some of your comments, we can also do something like this, that if we want to show in the table only the service managers that were hired after 2010 June, we can do it like this. Okay, first of all, the title, service managers hired after June 2010. Creating the table, again, similar, we just give the border, the within the row, we give the background color if we don't want it to have the full table to be in that color. Then the title columns for that row, name, date hired, and department. And what happens here is that we do a kind of a conditional processing in XPath, and this is getting it slightly bit more complicated, comparing to those tasks that you had. So we want to do this kind of a conditional processing, that we want to select from the company personal person, so again going to all persons whose title is service manager. So again, you see that the syntax differs. Here we navigate to that person. Then, by this bracket, these different types of brackets, we extract from the attribute title if the attribute value is manager, and also giving an additional constraint that if they are hired after 2010 and July. Actually, that should be June, that would be actually 6, but anyways, this kind of a conditional processing is possible, because this might be sometimes the case. You want to extract only some parts of information. You don't want to expose all the employees, but you also only want to create output to your manager whatsoever to give out, okay, these are the persons and this is the information or the sales that they have done or whatsoever. This is one way of doing it. We again sort by the name. We have the next row and the column. We give the name of that person. And again, remember that we have already done this looping, that only the persons from the person elements whose title is service manager and is hired after that June is given in this. And then in the next column, we want to put when they were hired, and then again, we want to navigate back to the department, no matter where they were in the element structure, the ancestor, to the department, and extract from the attribute the name. And then only two persons in this XML document fulfilled this criteria. So they were hired afterwards, and they had they were service managers. But this wasn't part of the assignment, but this is one way of doing it. Do you have any questions at this point about maybe, or want to give some feedback on how you did your assignment? But I just want to still ask, like, seeing how this extra assignment was done here, those who did it, do you feel that your solution was more simple? Maybe you can raise your hand if you feel that you have done a more simple solution. Those who feel that you have done a bit more complicated solution, maybe you can raise your hand. Yeah, maybe unsure. But okay, later on, you, of course, you will get the points if you did it and how you did it. Then how many of you did the SOAP assignment? Did anyone do that additional? Sorry, I'll just put it open. How many of you did this extra assignment 4B? Okay, a few of you. Was it simple? No? It was mainly that you, as said here, so you can use this SOAP UI tool to try to make sense out of some web service that you can find yourself. You can select whatever service you like, because it was again about understanding the SOAP messages that fly around between different services and the VSDL that kind of works as the schema for it. And I'll just briefly, I didn't get yet the kind of a real like a correct answer for this, because this was a bit of a game out of the blue that also Tony isn't here, so I just quickly asked from Ville some guidance for this. But I have actually created a document for this. So first of all, the first question was that what operation names does the service provide and what functionality do they offer? This is all very much dependent on the service you have selected. From the behind that link that you had in that assignment, there were all kinds of. I just took the first one, the Get Stockyold osakekursseista, and so naturally the operations the service provide like are then related to the Stockyold, getting them, sending a request and getting the response. That was simple as that. And you can find it if you navigate in the VSDL schema. Again, this is not part of the exam, as you might remember, but those who went for the extra points, I'll just briefly go through this. So in the VSDL document that you might have... Do I have it open? Wait, I'll still want to quickly show you how. So what's wrong? Web service X, why isn't it working? Why was that a wrong address? No? Sorry. Where did I go wrong? Why can't I locate it right now? But I just wanted to show where you can find the schema. Okay, but I have it open here. So from that address, you can retrieve more or less any kind of a web service that you want that are out there as examples. And this is, again, just the kind of a schema for your SOAP messages. And the first question was relating to the... What operation name does the service provide? What functionality they offer? You can find it from the port type VSDL operation. And depending on the service, but in this case, there was just relating to Get Stockyold, and here in the slides, the service that it does. Just, and again, it now differentiates between different protocols. That's what also... Ville was telling that you can use different protocols, carrier protocols, when accessing the service. And here it's defined for SOAP, but also for HTTP. And those are very, very standard. But the first question, again, was really depending on the service you have selected, and you could find the answer from there. So there are POST and GET for different protocols. The second question was which carrier protocols can be used to access the service. You can find this under the binding element in your VSDL. So in this case, there was this SOAP and HTTP GET, HTTP POST. And again, this was depending on the case. So naturally, whatever you have selected, the right answer depends on what you have selected. And in here, as you can see, there's something related in the binding related to SOAP, GET keyword, and then there are HTTP GET, HTTP POST for the request and for the response. And then for the third question, there are what are the required parameters, names and data types to invoke the operations of the service. This is from the start of the VSDL schema. They are defined under these types. And these are pretty standard, so that you have the GET QAuth in this and GET QAuth response. We want to send a message. We want to get a response. We want to get the stock QAuths as a response. And are there any optional parameters? If so, what is their purpose? And this is, again, depending on the service. There might be some conditions for receiving something based on a year, or I mean, maybe the stock QAuth is not the best option, but like or example for this. But again, if you want to somehow extract only something based on a year or some other filters, you might have some optional parameters there defined. And then the part E was just to attach then the SOAP messages. If we want to contrast XML and DTD documents for data inter-exchange to SOAP and VSDL, in this case we kind of had to just expose the XML documents here in the document. So we have for request just a kind of a simple envelope for requesting the information about those. We want to... Okay, this is actually from a different example. This is what Ville had in his slides. This is the currency converter. So we want to exchange the conversion rate between euro and US dollar. And then we just get our service also gets the response, which is here 1 point something. And then there was just two questions. How does the service handle let's show it from here. So there was that on purpose send an incorrect request with a wrong parameter name or missing parameter. So how does the service handle this exception? And you get this then to the tool that you were using. And this again, as the response for the point G, really much then depend on the case, on the service you have, and the kind of a specific error message or failure that you get. So just to kind of try it out, what kind of errors you might get. So, and yeah, that's more or less it. So at least some of you did it, maybe some others who are not here today have also done it, so it was worth of 2 points. But it also just shows one very, very practical and commonly used XML language that just enables the inter-exchange of data between services. So those were the assignments for this time, the last assignments. Are there any questions so far? I mean, so far, we are very close to ending this lecture, but are there any questions in relation to the assignments or maybe the how to get points for those, or do you feel that Tony has been unjust towards you, not giving the points easily enough, or any kind of a feedback? But yeah, I hope that you in some level have enjoyed the assignments, and even though some of them are a bit more tedious, but I think in this case the learning what you get out of this and the relevance to different types of jobs that you might go towards later on. These kind of open quite many doorways. At least they might enable you to think or guess the types of workload required, or when you are, even if you are working on some conceptual side or user side of some web, like within some information system projects between like different companies and universities or whatsoever. When you want to discuss some conceptual issues, it might be that there's always the developer that then puts some soap hat on his and starts to talk gibberish, but at least then you might be able to then understand and follow if they are then talking about some specific standards on this level. And also to maybe understand the type of efforts and the complications in many cases related to those development tasks and how different types of solutions you always will have, no matter what kind of service is developed or schema is being developed, or as we saw, just putting some simple table on a web browser, like it seems that many of us have very different way of understanding that problem and solving it. So that's also what you will for sure see. And I hope you got some good out of the XML tasks. Anything in relation to assignments? I think there's already in Korppi the course feedback. I'll still check afterwards, because I think it's this year it's different. It's not handled by Dumpi anymore, but I think it's like university general kind of a feedback system. So I'll still will send you a separate email about that, because we really want your feedback in creating and developing this course further. So I'll get back to that later. And yeah, that's more or less it. You'll get later the points. Tony is now sick, so it might take a couple of days for him to maybe respond to your mails. But anyways, those will come later. In less than 2 weeks, the first exam. And maybe you can keep those things that I said earlier in mind, how to prepare for those. But if you have done followed the course slides and done the assignments, especially the three first ones, the exam should be just a walkthrough thing for you. Okay, that's all for me right now. So thanks all for joining. And if you have any questions, I can try to answer. But of course, Tony will then support you in some problematic areas in the assignment. So okay, thanks.